Wonderful to sense the Spirit of God, isn't it? I think it's wonderful to sense the Spirit of God. And I think he continues, really. I think what we've got to say in these few moments, really, I think it's going to carry on this theme of God healing. I think it's one of the ways he does heal. So, Father, I just pray that through your word, we may be healed. Lord, that through your word we may be equipped. Through your word we may be the sort of church, the sort of people that you're calling us to be. So, Lord, we ask that you'd give us ears to hear. May there not be a defensiveness in our soul, but may there be an openness to receive. And so, Lord Jesus, we ask that by your Spirit you'd bring light into our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. We're continuing with our journey through the book of Acts. She had one leg, was blind and deaf. She'd been a Christian most of her life, and at 85, that was a long time. Most of her life, she'd worked in a factory, and after losing her husband in her 40s, she wasn't educated or wealthy, had no position of responsibility or power. And although her flat was a bit smelly and a bit dirty and on a run-down state in East London, meeting her each week deposited something good in my soul. Many of the congregation I visited when I was first a pastoral worker, to be honest, drained the life out of me. I don't know if you know people like that. I know there's not many around here, but probably there's some people in your lives that drain the life out of you. Yet in some strange way, when I left Flossie, I left built up, bigger somehow, ready to take on the world. She was that sort of person. In fact, I used to look forward to meeting her. And although she had lots to complain about, I never once heard her moan. In fact, she had a knack of not really talking about herself much, but instead focusing on her young 21-year-old, inexperienced pastoral visitor. See, what she did had no material value, yet actually was priceless. And you know what? It's a gift that you could give somebody this week that could change the course of their life, that could invest in your marriage, that could transform your children and family life, that could make a lasting impact on your workplace, on your neighborhood, even in your gym. It's a gift that we can give whatever our age, however long we've been a Christian, whatever our bank balance. And as a church, if we become even more known for it, I guarantee we'll grow, we'll be a place where children and young people want to come, we'll be a place where many come to faith, and more than anything, we'll be a place that Jesus loves to be. Today, I want to look at encouraging encouragement. A simple gift you can give that changes lives. That's the theme today. I love what Henry Beecher says, a clergyman and a social reformer he was. A helping word to one in trouble is often like a switch on a railway track, an inch between wreck and smooth rolling prosperity. I love that quote. See, I want to look from Acts chapter 13, but instead of going verse by verse through this passage, instead I want to do a character study on somebody I've got a real soft spot for, Barnabas. In chapter 4, he's called the son of encouragement. And we want to do a little Bible study on Barnabas this morning. And then I want to look at what encouragement is, and I finally want to give some practical tips on how to be more encouraging in our relationships. Is that all right? So it's a little bit more seminar-like, in a sense, than preach-like this morning. But I think it has the potential of making a major impact in our lives and in our town and in the environments that we're in. And to do it, I want to do some tag preaching today with Ben, who I thought was sitting there and he disappeared.
I'm over here.
He's there. Oh, that's right. I suddenly had a little moment. I want to do it with Ben, firstly, because I think Ben and Erin are brilliant encouragers. Don't you? I tell you what, they're all smiling at you, Ben, which is really good. And Erin. Secondly, Ben's currently doing the New Frontiers Future Leadership thing, as many of you know that. And thirdly, because I've often heard Ben talk about how profound an impact encouragement has had on his own spiritual journey. So I want to weave some of Ben's story into what we're going to be looking at this morning, into this message, so we can see how important and powerful encouragement is for spiritual growth as well. Is that okay? And before we get to the practical stuff and looking at what encouragement is, I'm going to get Ben up to just teach us a little bit about what Acts and what the Bible says about this chap, Barnabas. So, Ben, come up. I think we want to be encouraging to him because he didn't sleep last night. Ben.
Okay, I've got this one.
Oh, you've got
that?
I
was told it's easier to gesticulate. Barnabas is mentioned 33 times in the New Testament. He came from a Jewish priestly family, and we know from Colossians 4:10 that he was a cousin to John Mark. He was one of the 70 who were with Jesus and was regarded by Luke in Acts 14:4 and Paul in 1 Corinthians as an apostle. In Acts, we first meet him in chapter 4, verse 36, where he is called Joseph. Luke tells us the apostles had renamed him Barnabas, and Barnabas means son of Pericles. This is a Greek word meaning one who encourages or exhorts. We are then told that this, the son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and bought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. This shows not only a great generosity in his nature, but that he's a giver of himself to others, and a generous man. We then meet Barnabas again following Paul's conversion on the Damascus Road in Acts chapter 9, where Paul turns up in Jerusalem and seeks to join the disciples. But as many would expect, they're a bit afraid of him, Paul having been known as a persecutor of the followers of Christ. But it is Barnabas, who sees something of the grace of God in Paul and takes him to meet the apostles. An action which starts to form the foundations of genuine trust and acceptance with Paul. In chapter 11, Barnabas is then sent to Antioch, where a number of believers have travelled following persecution, spreading the good news of Christ among the Greeks. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Acts 11, 23-24. Perhaps, as Christian encouragers, we can learn from Barnabas to accept people as they are and look for the grace of God in people's lives. When we see this, we too are glad and encouraged by fellow believers to press on and remain true. Perhaps we learn that the best encouragers are full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And if we create a spirit-filled, faith-touched culture of encouragement, many will be brought to the Lord. Barnabas then went to find Paul, encouraged to look out for people, and returned to Antioch to continue supporting and encouraging the church there. It's Barnabas we see was also a trustworthy man, entrusted with taking a gift to support a local church in Judea by the church in Antioch. As we enter chapter 13, we find that Barnabas and Paul are sent to Paphos by the Holy Spirit. While there, Paul takes strength in the Lord to rebuke a sorcerer. It was at this point that Paul becomes the more prominent of the two men. Up to this point, it is Barnabas and Paul. After chapter 13, Luke mostly speaks of Paul and Barnabas. In fact, in 14:20, it says that by that stage, Paul is the prime speaker. Encouragers serve others, are focused on others and want those who they encourage to reach their potential and all God has for them. We see near the end of chapter 13 that Paul and Barnabas, once again encouraging the believers to continue in faith, talked with them and urged them to continue in the grace of God. Finally, in chapter 15, we see Barnabas as a peacemaker when there is a falling out. Here, we see the relational component of encouragement. Fostering good relationships is so important. As Acts continues, we see Barnabas showing acts of encouragement to others, and as a result, the word of God spreads. Barnabas, the son of encouragement, looking out for others, looking for grace in people's lives, generous, full of the Spirit and faith, other-centered, serving others, wanting folk to remain true to the faith and reach their potential, even peacemaker. What a wonderful example to us all.
Have you got a soft spot for Barnabas? I think he's wonderful. I was very fortunate to grow up in a family that had a culture of encouragement. And although it wasn't a Christian family as such, Hebrews 3:11 could have been its motto, encourage one another daily. That was what I grew up in, the sort of home I grew up in. Flossie had made a big impact on me, but my parents made a bigger impact on me, actually, as I was growing up. And, you know, I rarely meet somebody who has emotional problems, who can remember being encouraged by their parents. There's something about encouragement that acts like vitamins to a child's spirit, I think. I spoke to somebody only a couple of weeks ago who said that they remember their father challenging them, correcting them, even goading them, but never encouraging them. And later in their life, they'd begun to see the impact, the lasting impact that had had on their soul. See, parents, we've got to encourage our kids, haven't we? Oh, crumbs. And our grandchildren. Thank you, Juliet. Don't we want to encourage our kids? Honestly, it's so, so important, not just for their achievements and their grades. We always go to the effort bit first on the sheets rather than the grades. But encourage them for their acts of kindness, their good character, the acts of service. Don't we want to encourage our kids? Be that sort of family that's encouraging our little ones? Sadly, churches are often places where children and young people aren't encouraged. I love it here that so many encourage our young people, encourage our kids. We want to be a sort of church that encourages young people and kids, don't we?
Yeah.
We want to be a place where families, church, what we're doing is encouraging the next generation. And not just the next generation, every generation. We want to be a place that is in a place of encouragement, don't we? Sadly, churches sometimes aren't. But I don't want that to be for us. I want us to be a place that is full of encouragement. See, when we're encouraged, something profound moves within us. When I'm encouraged, I rise above my problems. Something deep takes place within me when I'm encouraged. It's why encouragement is such a vital ministry. A child who's encouraged will rarely suffer depression when he reaches adult's life. Because encouragement is like a vitamin that we need to grow to emotional health and understanding and richness. But many in this world have not had much encouragement. But you know, the good news is that there is a place where encouragement should be found. And it's the church, I would say. That's why we want to encourage encouraging. Not just today, but always. We want to be a Barnabas-type people, don't we? Now, except it's not always the case, and some have found church discouraging over the years. We're a work in progress. It's not always going to be the case. But I want us to be a people who have a culture of encouragement. Amen? Selwyn Hughes helped me understand this whole idea of encouragement with the caring seminars. I don't know who is old enough to remember the caring seminars in the 90s. Oh, look, there's people who put their hands up. It was a three-day seminar program called Caring by Encouragement, Caring by Exhortation, and Caring by Enlightenment. I'm on some of the videos that came as the second generation. Thank you, Steve, for that mention. I think, Ian, did you do them? Oh, you didn't do those ones. Oh, somebody else did those ones. He was really helped me to understand how there's a really strong relational element within this whole idea of encouraging. And he did three one-day seminars, Caring by Encouragement, Caring by Exhortation, Caring by Enlightenment, that really shaped me in my ministry for years, I think. Caring by Encouragement was a day that looked at being supporting and supporting people's feelings. Exhortation was the idea that as we care, we're also directive, focusing on people's behavior. And Enlightenment is all to do with transformation and focusing on our thinking, renewing our mind. Very powerful little model to help people to grow and mature as Christians. And so often churches focus on the right behavior without supporting people's feelings, supporting where people are at, understanding where people are at, without encouraging people. And so his phrase just it lives with me now. It's like etched on my mind somehow. You can't exhort an unencouraged person. That was one of the phrases that was a sort of mantra through these seminars. So simple, yet so profound. We want to be a word and spirit people, don't we? And actually, you can't just exhort people in the word without understanding how people are feeling or where they're at. You can't exhort an unencouraged person, was his phrase. Now, the whole idea of exaltation in the word and enlightenment, renewing of our mind in the word, are wonderful subjects, but we're not going to cover those today. I just want to really focus on just the idea of encouragement, what it means to be encouraging. So what is it? What is encouragement? In the dictionary, it says that the word discourage means to cause somebody to lose confidence or enthusiasm, or to deprive of the will to persist in something, or prevent or seek to prevent something by showing disapproval or creating difficulties. That's the bad side. How much more delicious is the word encourage? To inspire with hope, courage, confidence, to hearten, to give support, to foster, to stimulate, to spur. Encourages, animate, cheer, embolden, hearten, inspirit, support, promote, stimulate others for the good. Isn't that the sort of place we want to be? Encouragement is a spiritual gift. Romans 12, we read it, don't we? If you're an encourager, then give encouragement. We know the people who've got that spiritual gift, don't we? We know Juliet's got that spiritual gift, don't we? We know that Rick's got that spiritual gift. There are others who have that as a spiritual gift. But it's not just a gift that some have. I think if you look up in the concordance or on Bible Gateway at the word for the word encouragement or encourage, you'll see it's in all sorts of contexts, particularly in encouraging people in the faith and in the word. But it's something that we're all encouraged to do. So 1 Thessalonians 5:11, let's read it together, shall we, Juliet? Not just you and I mean everybody. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you're doing. So it does happen. It's happening amongst us already, but we want more of it, don't we? Hebrews 3:13. But encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Isn't it a delicious word, encouraging? Don't we want to be a place where we're encouragement the whole time? Another verse. Let's read it together. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We see three elements just in that verse, don't we? We must have the opportunity to encourage. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. We must consider the principles of encouraging others. Let us consider. Let's think about it. Let's actually engage our brain. Let's equip ourselves. Let's give ourselves some tools, some skills. Let's consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. And we must continue in the ministry of encouragement. and all the more as the day approaches. Encouraging encouragement is something we want to be in our culture in the church. And there are many ways to encourage, aren't there? Some are very practical. Writing a note, an email, a text, sending a gift, helping somebody move house, cooking meals for a new mum and dad. That's encouraging, isn't it?
Very.
There, these guys know how encouraging that is. Sometimes encouragement is very practical, like that. I love this quote from Chuck Swindoll. Encouragement's awesome. It can actually change the course of somebody's day, week, or even their life, you know. Even their life. Encouragement can change. And I think at its best, there's a strong relational element to good encouragement. And I think there's two key issues when considering the relational aspect of encouragement. And these are acceptance and understanding. For somebody to be encouraged, they really need to feel that they're accepted, I think. They need to feel that they're understood. It's why if you just give a Bible verse to somebody, it's not as effective as if you really try and connect with somebody, encourage them, help them to understand, or help them to understand how you understand where they're coming from. Now, there's two difficulties with this sometimes, which people say to me. If I accept somebody, somebody comes to you and their life is a mess, it's very unbiblical, they're in all sorts of sin and things that they shouldn't be doing. If I accept somebody like that, does it imply that I accept their behaviour? Sometimes people get a bit confused about this, I think. The answer I'd give is that acceptance of somebody doesn't mean approval of what they're doing that may not be right. See, it's so important for us to differentiate between the person and the person's behaviour. Parents, we know that, don't we? We don't want to say to kids, you're a bad kid. We want to say that some of their behaviour is bad. It's different. It's a very different thing. But some people have got a curse on them. You're a bad kid. I heard one woman on the train say their kid was evil. I thought, oh, what a wounded soul that would be. They weren't behaving very well, the kid. Do you get what I mean? Acceptance doesn't mean approval. I can accept somebody without approving unbiblical behaviour. Secondly, some people are just so disagreeable, aren't they? It's hard to encourage them. Have you come across those people? You think, oh, how can I encourage that person? It's really hard to accept them. I come across those people, and I try and remind myself of the person's potential rather than the reality. Try and focus on behaviour that is worthwhile, on their intrinsic value. There's all sorts of scriptures, isn't there? Seeing the image of God in somebody. Now, Ben has often said to me that he's been encouraged on his spiritual journey. And so I've asked him just to share his journey and how encouragement has been a theme through it. Is that all right? So if you could all smile a lot now.
I'd almost forgot I had to come up
again. Had you? Oh, sorry.
That's all. Yeah. Sean has asked me to talk about my journey and how I've been encouraged in my walk with God. Now, I had a very long journey before I came to faith, about in 2008. But I'm going to sort of talk about that sort of part of my life, not all the stuff that went before, of which some was encouragement, some was not. But as Steve spoke some weeks ago about the number of steps to convert or conversations people have with Christians before they come to faith, and how we don't always see the fruit, but that we are aware of a bigger picture, I believe that is all part of what Sean's talking about and encouragement. And Sean's just spoken about acceptance and understanding as a way to show true encouragement. It's these two values that also provide trust, I would say, in the encouragee, if you get my gist. And on my own journey, I personally have experienced this. My journey started many years ago, as I said, but in 2008, I sent an email to Val about the Alpha Course. Where is she? She's not in here. Oh. But Val is lovely, as you all know, and sent me back a really fantastic email that was encouraging to come along. It was accepting of where I was. I was even using a pseudonym, and she didn't mind that too much at the time, although she thought I was a bit weird. Then, as the course started, I really sort of felt listened to. I felt accepted, not just by Sean, but by the other people who were on the course, the Christians, but also the non-Christians that were doing the Alpha course. I think the course itself just gives a whole warm feeling of acceptance. Alex is nodding at the back there. Yeah. And this Barnabas-like encouragement that continued to build the trust and encourage me to seek to know more. When Sean then encouraged me by meeting for lunches outside of the course, I found that was another step that that Sean took outside of that to just add that extra encouragement to show an understanding and an acceptance of who I was, and really help me on that journey. After coming to faith, this encouragement within the church remained strong, with people encouraging me through my baptism, through Erin and I's marriage, and now to the birth of our little girl. But just like Barnabas, I have felt others have seen the grace of God in my life, encouraged me in the word and faith, and inspired me to remain true. A key has been the quality of their encouragement, which has always been authentic, really listening and seeking to understand where I'm coming from, accepting me as I was, yet believing God had a plan for me, even before I knew him or knew that plan. I still don't know the plan, really. This has helped me to continue on my journey, to seek God more fully and to disciple and encourage others through our home group, which is a place, incidentally, where we seek to encourage, accept and understand each other in our daily lives. And I'm sure that's much the same for every home group here. It's not just about singular things. But I have experienced Barnabas-like encouragement in Jubilee, and in fact, it has been a key to me coming to faith and pressing on, remaining true to my faith.
Isn't that wonderful? By the power of their testimony, isn't it? That's a wonderful verse from Revelation. We've just got some top tips, okay? You got 5 minutes, 10 minutes of top tips, okay, for encouragement. You up for that? Good. They've been encouraging, aren't they?
Am I starting?
Yeah, you can. Okay. Yeah, no, I am. Well, you're doing the blue bit. I'm doing that bit.
Oh, okay.
So, it's a double act. We could have looked at 100 encouraging things to do, but what we're trying to do is look at the relational component of encouragement, trying to focus in on that a little bit, okay? And what we're going to do is we're going to put this on my blog, because my blog isn't so regularly updated, and Ben thinks that's not a good idea. So he thought this would be a good idea to put some of this stuff on my blog, which is on the website. So we're going to do that. But anyway, we're going to rush through this quickly just to try and provoke you to think, to consider how you can encourage, okay? And then if you just something stirs, one of the things just stir you, go on the blog and have a little look at it, think about it, just unpack it a little bit more. Is that all right? Good. Ben?
Cool. I got this.
Okay, sorry.
Be alert for opportunities to encourage. Encouragement is more effective when opportunities are seized rather than created. When we meet people, we can miss opportunities to encourage others because we do not know how to recognise the signals that discouraged people send out. Look for subtle hints, sad or downcast expressions, uncharacteristic behaviour, letting routine tasks go, indecisiveness, tone of voice, change in dress. Such things may be subtle signals that people need encouragement.
Very good.
We don't want to make people a project, do we? And they're going to be encouraged whether they like it or not. We want to seize opportunities. Second thing, learn the art of effective listening. Good listening takes practice. Most of us are better talkers than listeners. I pause for effect because we're thinking, oh, am I one of the good talkers or one of the good listeners? I don't know. But listening actually takes some practice. It takes some efforts. It's quite tiring to listen sometimes. But we need to learn how to discipline ourselves to listen effectively. It's about being more aware of the other person than yourself when you're listening. Sometimes we're more aware of ourselves and what we're going to say next than we are what the person is saying. We're not giving them their attention. We may be focusing when we're listening on what's the feelings behind this word. People are saying something, but they look very different. There seems to be something behind this. We may want to reflect back to what we're hearing. Some of the emotions that we contain within the message. These are all skills, aren't they? Emotional intelligence skills. We may want to give non-judgmental acceptance of somebody. It's not giving approval of their behaviour. We can still accept them as people come in to the church here. So practice. If you're not a good listener, practice at listening. There's all sorts of books and resources, tools that you can use to listen effectively. But let's practice the art of effective listening.
And when you're not listening, use the right words. Words have an awesome power. In Ephesians 4, we see, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." In Proverbs, "The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit." Again, we see, "Anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up." "Gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones." "The tongue is the strongest muscle in the human body. Use yours to lift someone's up today." That was Terry Ann Armstrong, not the Bible. "Good words are worth much and cost little." George Herbert. Improving the quality of your conversation. Move up the conversational triangle. Have we got it? Oh, yeah. Cliche is bottom. Reporting facts. Giving your opinion. Sharing feelings, openness and honesty. Where are you on your triangle? You can give yourself a colour if you like. Things you perhaps ought not to say. You need to have more faith. Praise the Lord anyway. You shouldn't feel like that. Well, we all have days like that. And words that encourage are prompted by love, chosen with care, and spoken with tenderness.
Very good. Fourth point, empathise with people's feelings. When you know somebody's thoughts or judgments or ideas...
Empathise.
Does it? Oh, look. I'll change it before the blog. Am I? Thank you. Oh, see? See which one I'm drawn to now. When you know somebody's thoughts or ideas, that's one thing. But when you know how somebody's feeling about something, what motivating somebody, it's just a different level, isn't it? Tuning into somebody's thoughts, ideas, gets you into their mind. But understanding how they're feeling really gets to their heart. Just tune in to the statements I'm going to make and what you pick up at the level of the feelings, okay? I'm going to read something out. Just then shout out. Just what do you pick up? "My job is all right at the moment, but things keep changing. I don't think it'll be long, however, before I'm replaced by somebody younger." What's behind those words? Vulnerable? Anxiety, self-conscious, fear, insecure. Don't just take the words. Look at what's underneath it. Another one. "The date of the wedding has been set, but as it gets closer, the more I feel like postponing it." Anxiety. Fearful. There's something beneath the words, isn't there, that we need to tune into. "I tried to talk to the pastor about the problem, and he said he'd arranged to see me to discuss it, and that was a month ago, and he hasn't come back to me with a date." usual. Who said? We'll move on. I lost my temper again today, and although I've made a commitment not to do it this, it keeps happening. I'm just a hopeless Christian. Ah, there's some encouragement. Discouragement. Despair. Try and look at beneath the surface at some of the feelings that there are with what people say. We could say ages on all these things, but go on.
Understand the importance of body language. Studies show that it's not just what we say that's important, but also the way that we say it. The experts call this non-verbal communication. This pie chart shows 7% words, 55% is non-verbal, and 38% is tone of your voice, pitch, pace, volume, emotion. Those are the way it affects people. Things to consider when encouraging: focus fully on the person, respect psychological space, so physical space. Physical space. How close you are to someone. Maintain appropriate posture, use proper eye contact, and match facial expressions.
These are just little. Go for it. Yeah. You're absolutely right. People get into a lot of trouble, don't they, with texts, with email. They're all limited because you're not picking up the bulk of what somebody's communicated. Parents, you know it, don't you? When your kids, you know, when they've done something wrong, you discipline them and they say, "I'm sorry." You know they're not, don't you? It's really important. And if we're going to be encouragers, it's a spiritual gift. But do you know what? There's basic relational things that we've really got to really learn. It's the considering how to encourage one another. Let's just quickly move on then through these. Use door openers. You know what door openers are? Door closers. You come across that? Some of you have. Technique. Door opener encourages further sharing of what a person means. Usually takes the form of a question. Good door openers encourage somebody to share their feeling. Never forces somebody. That's not good. Simply offering ourselves with a question can be very powerful. Door closer tends to be something that just shuts down further conversation. So if I say something like, "How on earth was George invited to do that job?" If you hear somebody say that, door closers might be, so if he says, how on earth was George invited to do that job? A closer might be, "Oh, I was surprised too." Or, "I don't know." Or, "Oh, did he?" To close it down. Doesn't invite further questions. Door opener might be something like, "Were you surprised at that? Don't you think he should have been? Would you think you might have been a better candidate then?" See, it just opens, invites further conversation, invites people to share further. Door openers, door closers. Finally. Almost.
Finally. Nearly. No, they've got another one. Don't be drawn out of your depth. When some people respond to your caring encouragement, you may find yourself faced with a difficulty that's beyond you. Simply clarify the issue and suggest the direction the person can go. Suggest further help. Arrange for an introduction to someone who might be able to help, or maintain your interest and support.
And finally, just pray. Okay? If you can't do any of the other stuff, just pray for people. That's really encouraging. Pray naturally, perceptively, pray specifically, but pray. You see, we need to consider how to encourage one another daily. That's Some of those, just some little tools, little things, you probably come across most of them, but just an encouragement for us to actually consider how we can encourage one another. That's the point I want to make. Is that all right? So just to close then, just, they're the top tips. Encouraging encouragement, that's what we've wanted to do today. It's a simple gift that you can give today that has the power to transform people's lives. That's really true. Has the power. She's ahead of me. But she's finished well. I tell you what, if you are encouraging, it does something to your own soul. Do you know what? People are drawn to you when you're encouraging. There's so many positive things about it. Just a couple of quotes. One from John Ortberg. God is never a God of discouragement. God is never a God of a discouragement. When you have a discouraging spirit or a train of thought in your mind, you can be sure it's not from God if it's discouraging. He sometimes brings pain to his children, conviction over sin, or repentance over fallenness, or challenge that scares us, or visions of his holiness that overwhelm us. But God never brings discouragement to us. Some of you need to hear that. God doesn't bring discouragement. Charles Spurgeon said, "I would go to the depths 100 times to cheer a downcast soul. It's good for me to have been afflicted, in fact, that I might know how to speak a word in season to one that is weary." It's wonderful. G.K. Chesterton said, "If I can put one touch of rosy sunset into the life of any man or woman, I shall feel that I've worked with God." God is the God of encouragement. As we encourage each other, we're on his side. I'll tell you what, it's a good side to be on, isn't it? Do you know what? We can all be flossies this week. We don't have to have special qualifications or anything, but we can make a choice to encourage others. And we can consider how to do it. Amen? I want us just to stand, and I want to just pray for folks. I just feel there are particular areas to, as I was preparing, that I just felt that may resonate with people. I think there may be some who are discouraged at this point. You know in your soul there's a discouragement. Your courage has been taken from you. Well, isn't it the Holy Spirit that was called the great encourager? Isn't it he the paraclete, the one who comes alongside to encourage us? If you're feeling discouraged, I just want to pray for you this morning. Maybe even as I was just talking about my childhood, there was this little voice in you saying, that wasn't my childhood. If you weren't ever encouraged, you know what? You've come as Christian to a new father who does want to encourage and root for you, who is there wanting to bring hope, wanting to encourage you on. So the past can be in the past, you know. It doesn't have to move into the future. So if that was you, just it's an opportunity this morning to say, "Heavenly Father, I know you're the God of encouragement." Even if you don't know that, I'm telling you he is. And finally, I just want to pray for those who want to grow in being a better encourager. So if you want to respond to one of those, you can put your hands in the air. That makes it easier for the folks in the first two. And if you want to just respond to God, I'm just going to pray a simple prayer now and ask the Holy Spirit, the great one who is the encourager, to come alongside us. Amen. Lord Jesus, we delight to know your presence. We thank you for speaking to us through our service this morning. We thank you for this school hall where we can gather. And Lord, I just want to pray for those who weren't fortunate like me to have an upbringing that was encouraging. In fact, their upbringing was very discouraging. And Lord Jesus, I just pray that your healing hand would come. Dear Holy Spirit, come alongside the great encourager to those folks who are smarting at just the thought of encouragement. Bring your healing touch, Lord Jesus. They know who they are, and I just pray, Lord, you'll help them to open their hearts to the encouraging one and find healing. And Lord Jesus, I just pray for anybody who's just life circumstances, situation, they're finding discouraging. I pray, Lord Jesus, you'd be close to those folks here this morning as well. And that there would be an openness in their hearts to receive your encouragement and to receive the encouragement of others. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And finally, Father, I just pray that you'd help us to be encouragers. Lord, we thank you that we are. Thank you that generally people say that Jubilee is a place of encouragement. But Lord, we want to press on into it even more. We want to be a place that is known for its encouragement. And so, Father, we ask each of us really that you'd help us to consider how we can encourage one another daily. Not just let it go, life go by, but that we would be intentional, that we would seize every opportunity. We would develop our skills. Lord, we would ask you for more spiritual gifts even of encouragement amongst us. And Father, we pray that there may be anointing upon us, especially in these days when many in our town are so discouraged. May we be a force for encouragement in this town. And Lord, as we do it, may we know the grace of God with us. May we know your grace in our lives, and may we see the grace in other people's lives. And so, Father, we ask that you would strengthen us in that you'd fill us with your spirit to do it. You'd stir us to have faith for it, just like Barnabas did in chapter 13. We pray, Father, for your grace to us and your anointing to us in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.